my name is Salty, and I'm a motorcycle addict. Welcome to tonight's meeting of degenerates and a few uncorrupted souls, but that is still up for debate, which would make this political. So let's get on with the 48th episode of Live at 5. This two for Tuesday, we have a special guest as part of our small channel spotlight. Stay tuned for that show, and we'll learn a bit about Evolution Cycles page and the creator. Bikers get bored and suffer from PMS, parked motorcycle syndrome, when the tar stakes hibernate and potholes grow and open up. It's biker workshop days, preparing for the season to come. Still trying to convince my wife motorcycles are good financial investment. She doesn't agree. I'm willing to trade one basket case for another. Maybe you'll have better luck with her than I do. Let's set back and talk about motorcycles, the lifestyle it's all about, the adventure. Most of all, remember, chopping ain't easy. If I wanted to ride something easy, I would have called your girlfriend. Without further ado, let's get on with tonight's show. Salty Badger, arriving. So, this is Evolution Cycles. He's got a small channel. He's been doing it for a while. I've shared a little bit of his stuff out there. I don't like to share a lot of his stuff, but I did think the Grinch video that he did. I really liked his chopper video. That's kind of what things are about. So, he's got a shop and some stuff like that. I'm going to ask him a few questions. Then I'm going to let him talk, give him the stage and let him talk about his channel, things to come, things like that. So I have a few questions I'm going to ask him. We'll let him do that. And then if he wants to answer some questions from the side chat, we'll also do that. All right. The first question I have for him is, when was your first memorable motorcycle experience?
So I was probably 16, 17 years old. My mom and brother both worked for a local Harley dealership. I would go sit outside the dealership because I was too poor. I couldn't afford a motorcycle. I couldn't afford anything. So I would just sit there on a picnic table and drink a soda for hours and watch bikes just drive in and drive out and ride in and ride out. And I knew at that point I wanted to figure out bikes. My brother bought me my first bike shortly after that, bought me a little 2003 Sportster. And I opened a detail shop so I could touch every bike and learn everything. And then slowly it evolved into what you have now. Everything I have is all self-taught. I haven't been to any schools. I haven't done anything. It's just I've sat in my garage and messed up enough stuff to where I thought it was time to mess other people's stuff up.
Right on. So that's a good way to get started. And I think that's pretty much the way I did it. I did it as a hobbyist and things like that. So
yeah, I'm self-taught in welding everything. So if people need to understand, right. if you want to figure it out, you can do it.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, if you want to build stuff, you can do it. If you've got some mechanical ability and you want to go farther with it, that's the best way to do it.
Absolutely.
So the next question I had is, who would you say was your biggest influence in regards to the motorcycle industry?
Well, obviously I grew up around like the Jesse James craze and the Orange County Choppers, which I'll touch back on that here later on. It's just pretty cool stuff going on with that. But Bobby Goodtimes, if you're not following him on Instagram, he's amazing. Like, he makes handlebars. We became very close friends. He's a born free builder now. Josh Allen used to work with senior at OCC. He's just beyond talented metal, probably the most talented metal worker I've ever seen. And then another one is Fish from Alleyway Customs, and then Hawk Lachey from Vintage Technologies. Those guys are all metal sculptors to the 10th power. You know, like, I look up the stuff they do, and I compete against these shows I go to. my bike stand next to theirs, and there's no, I don't think mine has any business being next to theirs.
Right. I can, on that part of it, I can definitely agree on that, because like we talked about prior to this a little bit, we were both at the cycle showcase this year unveiling motorcycles. I felt way out of my league there, but everybody there made us feel very welcome. That was our first time doing something like that, and talk about a big stage to do it on with some of the better builders and most friendly builders in the industry. They're up and coming. I think that's the best thing about that show.
The nice one about that show I really like is it's in my backyard. So I didn't have to travel hours. I only had to travel 30 minutes for once.
Right. That makes it nice too. That was the advantage for the damn show for me. It was close enough. It was a couple hour drive, but not bad.
Yep. It's 8 hours for me for the damn show.
That's what it is for me for the cycle showcase.
Right. Yep.
So, next one I have is, when did you start professionally working on motorcycles?
So June of 2017, I opened my first shop.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. So it started out as I would go and buy bikes from auction, newer Harleys. And I would just take them back, and I would completely customize them and then sell them brand new with all the handlebars done, everything already done to people. And then it slowly developed where people were coming to ask me, you know, can I fix this? Can I fix that? And I saw there could be more money made in repair. And, you know, so I kind of went that route. And so my shop also repairs anything from old flatheads and knuckles all the way to brand new M8s.
Nice. That's awesome. I've seen the video where you fixed one somebody else didn't fix. I mainly do cars, so I understand when that kind of stuff happens. It really upsets you, especially when you see somebody being taken advantage of, and then you discover it. And like, you try not to throw people underneath the bus, but sometimes those people need to be thrown underneath the bus so they don't keep doing that to customers.
Right. And that's one thing. Like, so I knew the guy. And he was just, in passing, we were talking. He's like, man, it still doesn't run right. So we'll bring it down. I bet I'll figure it out. And he goes, I thought you only knew old stuff. I said, well, I know old stuff, but unfortunately, I do know new as well. So it was just nice trying to, one, change that guy's opinion of what this shop really is. And the other part is, like, I'll never throw a shop under the bus. That guy tried. He did what he thought was right. He was out of options, and sometimes some bikes just meet your match.
Yep, that happens, and you get to that point where you can't fix something. So right. It happens. So the next question I have is, what was your first build, and secondly, what was your favorite build? Because I know you had several builds. So.
Oh, yeah. So my first build was an Evo hardtail. And I built it the second year the shop was open, so that had been 2018. It was the first tank I ever built was on it, and the exhausts were MIG welded together, and everything looked terrible, but it was my first bike, and I absolutely loved it. I mean, it was a slick bike. Don't get me wrong. I'm probably playing it down more than what it should be, but... it happens to be like my brother. That was one of his, that's it still to this day, his favorite bike I ever built. And my favorite bike is a toss up. I have two bikes, one that are very special to me. One is the People's Champ bike that it's ZZ Chop for my granddaughter. So I built, 2 years ago, I was in People's Champ contest. I finished eighth or ninth. I think it was eighth. And, that bike actually belongs to my 2-year-old granddaughter. So I built that bike knowing that one day I'm going to sell it and all the money is going to go to her college fund or her 18. I don't care what to do fund. So that bike kind of means a lot to me. And then, the Bandit is the one that, it's a nose cone shovel with a pan head top, big, tall exhaust, some baby apes, just crusty and rat. And the motor's high performance motor and out of it. And it's my first vintage motor, old motor bike I ever messed with. So that one kind of has a soft spot in my heart too.
Right. I see that. Did you, quick question. This one's outside of the box. So if you don't want to answer this, I completely understand. But that reminded me. Did you do something with Sassy Pants?
I did. I did. So Sassy is one of my good friends, and I met her at the 120th Harley show, and we really hit it off. And we spent the whole show her talking to me about, you know, picking my brain about building a chopper. She wanted to build her first chopper. So I told her, I said, look, I have three daughters, a wife, a granddaughter. There's not a question you can ask me that's going to be dumb. And then she asked me if I would help her build it and do it. And so she came and stayed with me and my wife for a time, and her social media team, Joe, he's a great guy, nice guy. And they stayed at the house with me, and they left with a pretty rad bike, I think.
Yeah, they did. I've seen that bike. It's an awesome build. Sorry, I did tell you I gave you your questions ahead of time.
No, that's fine. You're fine. You're fine.
So that was cool. And I've seen her a couple times also. She's a very good person too. Very
down to earth. She's very down to earth. Yeah. As a matter of fact, her dog and my dog are best friends. They always like, so I have a Mac, I obviously rides with her everywhere. And I have a 5-pound teacup min pin that rides choppers with me. And we always take them to shows and stuff with us. So her name's, my little dog's Frankie. So if you see me and you see my little min pin, it's Frankie. She's a chopper chick. She just out doing chopper stuff.
Right on. That's cool. So that's really cool. And you're kind of like me, because I've got my son, and I've got a son-in-law, but all my grandkids are all granddaughters, but I do my best to introduce them into the chopper stuff too. So.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and believe it or not, I have one kid that likes motorcycles. The rest could leave it alone.
Yeah.
You know, I don't push it. I just say, well, maybe it'll change when but all my kids are, one's 16, one's almost 16. One turns 18 tomorrow. One's 25. So, I mean, my kids are older. They're pretty much made their decision.
Right. And like my dad, like I came into it, I bloomed into it late, really. I was in my mid-teens, but I mean, my dad was building choppers in the living room of our apartments. He never forced it on me. And unfortunately, I never wanted nothing to do with it. I don't know why that happened in that same span, but when it hit me at about 13 or 14, I was ready to go, you know?
Yeah. My father can barely work a remote control. And we weren't allowed motorcycles. We weren't allowed anything like that. I don't know where it came from, honestly. I just, from sitting there when I was younger, watching them, I distinctly remember a guy riding up on a chopper, and I went, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. And yeah. I was hooked.
Yeah. Yeah. It's once you're into it, you're hooked. So yeah. That leads us to the next question, that little talk we were just having right there. That kind of leads right into the next question. Would you say the chopper crowd is different than the rest of the motorcycling community? And how, in your own opinion?
I definitely think they're different. There's two ways. One, most of your chopper guys are bare essential type guys. They are not about the frill and the bags and all the windshields and radios. They want to be on the ride. They want to be in tune with the road. They want to be about the ride. Most of them are hardtails. I've rode my hardtail from Illinois to Detroit. I've rode it from Illinois to Iowa. It's just the same. It rides the same. But I would definitely, the other part is like the chopper people are more so about the history of the bike. The bike tells the story, not the newer bikes. They don't have any soul as much as the motor. They have just big motors or flashy paint and stuff. Now, in that aspect, I think, the chopper scene is way different than like the bagger scene. Because I mean, I do, what people don't know is I've built baggers for people. I've built, customized other bikes for people. So I've see every scene, but the chopper scene are my people. They're just down to earth. Throw everything on the bike in a pack and let's just get after it. We don't need all the frills and a radio and directions. And, I still tape my directions to my tank, like the old school way.
Yeah. I'm the same way. And I was in a chat yesterday. I don't remember which one, but there was some people talking chopper stuff. And one of the guys said, oh, all the chopper guys, they all own a bagger. I do myself, but I actually prefer to ride my choppers more. I kind of like breaking down on the side of the road, beating people.
My newest bike I own is a 1985 Softail. That's the only bike I have with suspension, and it's a chopper as well. Every bike I own is a chopper. I've owned baggers because I was buying them to sell them. So I think I've owned three baggers for a total of a week, just waiting for them to sell. But I've had a twin cam one time, but it was a Dyna. But I like the baggers, and they have a purpose. They're cool bikes. Every bike has a purpose, of course. But it's just not the bike for me.
Right. Yep. That's the kind of way it is for me. Like, my wife, she likes the bagger, and when we go on longer rides, I ride with her because I had her on the back of my chopper one time, and she rode the fender, and we got to where we were going. She said, I'll find somebody else to ride home with.
Yeah. I mean, you win some, you lose some.
Yep, exactly. So the next question I got is, what is your favorite show experience of 2024 of last year?
That's actually, you can go back and see the full story of this one on my YouTube channel. It was my Glory Days Runaway. So I just won toughest freaking chopper award from Glory Days, which was a cool trophy. But 2 days prior, I had Electron carb on it, and I was having some issues. I didn't have time to really dissect it and get it to the bottom of it real quick because I was in a mad rush. So I grabbed a Super E off my shelf because I usually keep the Super E's all about what my bikes need for that reason. So I just slapped it on, started it, fired it, everything was good. Well, I didn't check the jets to make sure they were snugged in. I just had them like finger started in. So as we're coming down one of the hills, I lose my main jet into the bowl. So now my bike is in a straight runaway. I can't stop it. Like, it snapped my brake line. What else happened? I was pushing on the clutch and it was pushing through it, and I'm coming down this hill. And if you want to hear the whole story, go to it. But that was probably that was a minute and a half of wild at about 50 miles an hour, and didn't go down, didn't nothing. Just sat there and laughed about it at the end, and had the cops rinsing my eyes out with water.
Yeah, I'll tell you guys, I've watched that whole video probably 4 or 5 times. I've showed it to my friends that come over to my house when I'm in the shop and they're talking about choppers. I show them that when they ask me when things, you know, what's it like riding a chopper? I said, well, when things go bad, they go bad. And they're like, well, what do you mean? And I'll pull that video up and show them it. You got to go to his page and watch that video.
So when I went through this intersection, I thought, okay, cool. I made it through the first intersection. And then I didn't know there was a secondary intersection, but it sent me airborne. I jumped it over the other. And when I landed, my gas cap shot off. And when my gas cap shot off, I got 2 gallons straight in the eyes, because of course we just filled up, you know, and I had 2 gallons in my eyes. So now I can't see. I don't know where I'm at. It's pitch black road. But, you know, somebody called the cops and said I was riding my four wheeler across the golf course. I didn't know I was near a golf course. But my exhaust was so loud, and that thing was pinned at 7,000 RPMs for 2 minutes. Needless to say, I blew the motor up. So the motor is actually back living again, though. I got it all put back together, and it's back on the road.
So I got a quick one real quick, and then I'll get on the next question. So I was on my way to Milwaukee for one of the anniversaries on a chopper going through Chicago in a rainstorm, no front fender. And the guys in baggers wanted to follow me because I knew where I was going. Well, I thought I was running out of gas. So I riding down the toll road, I thought it was a good idea to unscrew my gas cap and look at the gas tank to see if I had gas. That was the worst idea ever. I wore gas. Terrible. And I know exactly the pain you were talking about when you get it in your eyes.
Oh, it's terrible.
And your glass, and they're like, well, what about your glasses? Your glasses instantly go away.
So that's funny you say that, because I get asked that question probably every time somebody sees it. Man, why don't you just leave it? Why was your glass? I said, as soon as the gas hit them, they yellowed, from the fuel. So I couldn't see anything. So I literally, and you don't know what's coming at you. So your first reaction is get them off your face so you think you can see. You can't, it's just a built-in so I ripped them off and threw them out of everything that came off the bike and whatever. That's the only thing I couldn't find was my glasses.
Yeah. And they probably just probably got ran over. It is all. Oh, I'm sure. Something.
Yeah, that's one thing that's I promise you, you get something hit your eyes and you're going 50 miles an hour. First thing you'll take off is your glasses. I promise.
Yep. Oh yeah. I've been there. Like I said, I thought it was a good idea to unscrew the gas cap and look inside, but that'll never happen again.
Yeah. Yeah. You only got to do that one time.
So the next question I got is, what events might someone see you at this year? If you want to wait for that rest of that other stuff that you wanted to talk about, you don't have to answer that all at the same time.
No. So here we got I'll give you the shows I've got coming, and then I'll tell you about the other stuff a little bit later. So obviously right now I'm set up for Mama Tried. ZZ Chop will be at Mama Tried along with Sassy's bike. Sassy and her will be at Mama Tried. And then I haven't 100% penciled it in yet, but I'm sure I'll be at Glory Days. I still have to build the bike yet, but I'm sure I'll be there. I have a few bikes coming down the pipe that it'll be more later. Party at the Penn East I'll be at. I just got the invite to that the other day and accepted that. I'll be there with the Bandit. The Dam Show, I'll be there with a 49 Panhead, which I'll tell you about later. I know I'll be going to Fuel Cleveland as well. So those are probably the top five that you're going to catch me at.
Nice, nice. And that, I'll tell you, I've been to the shows that he's talking about. Well, then the Pen Out Back, I haven't been to that one, but the other ones I've been to. And I will tell you, the Dam Show is a very small show, but it's a very tight-knit community, in my own opinion. And once you're in that family, it's something completely different.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Detroit does a great job advocating for this two-wheel life. I talk to him about once a week, every other week. He's just a great inspirational dude.
And if you think you know motorcycle history, you talk to him, I guarantee you learn something.
Oh, he taught me something the other day, and what was it? I can't remember. And he goes, oh, you got a something. I go, no, man. He goes, yeah, that's what they used to call those. I said, I guess so. I never heard that. A Frankenstein. Yep. We're talking about Baker 6s. They call it a Frankenstein transmission. And I said, no, man, I got a Baker 6. You got Frankenstein. I learned something.
Yeah, I learned that one from my dad.
Yeah.
I was like, so, and it's crazy when my dad says stuff about choppers, because he made twisted forks and everything back in the 70s when they were doing that. And I mean, there's some bigger name builders that I've met because of my dad in this area that he knew when he was a kid. They're the same age, but they just continued the chopper thing and he got out of it. So that was pretty cool.
I don't realize how big my name is out there, you know, because I'm just it's just me in this shop. It's just me. And it's weird to sit back and all these builders start talking. I'm like, oh man, I do know them. Oh shoot, I just talked to them last week, you know. So it's weird to see how it gets out, and it's cool how the community all helps each other.
Evil Rick from the out here in the side chat just had a quick question about shows coming up. You ever done Smoke Out?
I have not done the Smoke Out. Sassy has been on me to do the Smoke Out with her. So we might do the Smoke Out this year. Last year I was going to do it with her. But I had to finish her bike instead, help her finish the bike instead and do the last minute touches. And I couldn't slip away. So if I can slip away, yeah, the Smoke Out is definitely a cool place. If you run into me, make sure if you want to buy me a drink, buy me a Coke. I don't drink. I'm 3 years sober. So
nice.
And I don't feel insulted. If you say, let me buy you a beer. So I don't feel insulted. It's no big deal. But just if you want to buy me something, buy me a Coke.
I'm pretty much the same way. I mean, I do get in some shenanigans once in a while, but I recently had a stroke in October. So my drinking days are definitely done for now.
Yeah. Mine were done because I am kicked out of more places than I can get in for having too much. Chopper guys party harder than your normal guy.
That's part of the chopper life.
Yeah,
and it's true. I mean, that's a tight knit community for chopper builders. And in my own opinion, this is one thing that the way that I look at it and I explain it to people, you know, chopper guys, we go to these shows, we're competing against each other, but I realize that we're really not, because we're talking about the bike and not so much judging the bike. We're talking about it. You know, we're sharing our thoughts with each other and things like that.
Like, so when I go to shows anymore, I don't go to shows to care. I don't care about a trophy. You know, I have enough trophies. I don't care about that stuff. What I really want to do is look how other people are pulling off a concept I tried, or I'll take notice of something to how they fab something opposed to how I've been doing it to see if theirs looks better. You know, I'm taking subtle pointers. I'm looking at every bike, and people are like, well, you didn't look at that bike long. Well, I mean, it's a bike. I'm looking for details, the specific pieces. You know, I can look at the bike and say, oh man, it's a good looking bike. I don't need to study it. You know, I don't want to go home and try and build it.
Right. Yeah. And I did a quick thing. I don't want to keep it a whole long time, but
you're fine. Thing.
When I did the Donnie Smith show.
Yeah.
The garage build show, part of the Donnie Smith show. And I grabbed a hamster and I said, hey, what do you think of this chop? I didn't know what a hamster was. I kind of knew what it was, but I didn't really know what it was until I did that. And he come over, he looked at it. And while he was looking at my son's bike and we were talking about it and stuff, and the guy next to me had asked him about his bike. And he said, well, that thing right there, the way that you did that, you need to do this different because that'll kill you.
Right.
But I didn't get a comment like that on mine. So at that point, I felt pretty good on my kid's bike that I didn't get that particular comment, knowing that somebody will come straight out and tell you in that community, which I appreciate that, because if I do it wrong, I'm learning and I want somebody to tell me.
So a funny story is so a couple years ago, I went to Virginia City Roundup, the very first one. And I was once again trying to change the carburetors the last second. And I had to go to Denver's Choppers to get a jet for my Super E. So then it turned down to me meeting Mondo and having a 2-hour conversation with him. And then right before we leave him, my brake line was hanging just like that far below my frame, just barely. And he goes, hey, you might want to fix that before you start riding up these mountains. You're going to rip that off first time you get into a twisty. I'm like, Mondo, dude, I've been riding this same bike for 6 years. And they, I shit you not, first turn I ripped it off.
Right.
And now I had to ride the rest of the way with no brakes. I'm like, man, just because you said something. So, you know, right. It's funny how that people bring stuff to your attention and then it'll actually be an issue.
Yeah. I tell people all the time, though, if you're riding choppers and something doesn't break or fall off, you didn't ride very far.
Yeah. That's why a lot of people call me the roadside wizard, because I will get you home. We will not be stranded. I promise you. I've made clutch, like foot clutches out of bungee cords. I mean, all kinds of dumb stuff.
I rewired my entire chopper downtown Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And what had happened is that hellacious ride over, my headlight fell off and it fell down in front, the front tire, and got ran over and then shorted a bunch of stuff out. I got it fixed and sat on the side of the road. My wife tells me all the time, every time motorcycles break down, she's like, you're just MacGyver. You'll pull out anything to try to fix it.
And I carry a Leatherman with me. That's my only toolkit I have, is a Leatherman. And I will fix it with my Leatherman, or else it don't need to be fixed.
Because I'll tell you what I hate is every time I break down, I got to push that thing somewhere. It's forever that I have to push it. It's never somewhere close.
I ran out of gas in one of my choppers. That's the other thing. You run out of gas a lot. I ran out of gas and I was like 2 miles from a gas station in 100-degree heat. Oh, it was miserable. But I just sat there, filled it up, and laughed. You know, that's all you can do.
That's all you can do. That's definitely it. So here's the last question I got. I'll let you run with it for a little bit.
Yeah.
Would you say that chopper scene is making a comeback, or would you say it's always just been there, just been kind of hiding?
I would definitely say it's always been there and it's just definitely hiding. I see more people are trying to think they want a vintage motorcycle because they see people like me that's an experienced builder, mechanic, you know, riding these old bikes and keeping on the road. They take a lot to keep on the road. You know, it's not just a push it in, push it out maintenance. It's a lot of work. I think they've always been there. If you're not in the chopper scene, you would think it's making a heavy comeback right now. I think the old bikes are starting to really pop up now and people are starting to take notice. But I don't think we'll ever truly take over the new bike scene. I think the choppers and that will stay right where we're at in that nice knit community. And some years we'll go a spike in numbers and some will drop. But if true chopper dudes will be chopper to the core 100% of the time.
That's exactly it. So This is, he's from Evolution Cycles. He's nice enough to come on here, and I'm going to let him talk about his channel a little bit, about things that are coming for him. You can talk about his shop. I'm going to give it to him for just a little bit to let everybody get to know him a little bit better outside of the questions that I asked. If you guys, I'll pop some things up when he's doing, like I've been doing in the comments. I appreciate everybody watching, but the biggest thing is if you go over, I pinned his channel at the top of the page. I'm also going to pin in the description, so anybody wants to go over, check out his videos. Definitely check out the Chopper Story Glory Days. The guy's got a sense of humor on top of it. Puts out some good videos and good content. Besides good motorcycles, he's got good content. So go over there, check him out, and I'll let him run with it for a little bit. Here you go.
So the YouTube channel. So YouTube is Evolution Cycle 618, and then my Instagram is the same. TikTok kicked me off and then put me back on. So it's actually Evolution Cycles 58. I had to pick a pan year. I'm a pan head. I love pans. So there's my three places, and Facebook is 618, Evolution Cycle 618 as well. But so I just recently filmed with Paul Sr. and the OCC crew, not Junior, but Mikey and Rick Petko and that, they're getting ready to release a new series called OCC The Next Chapter, where they took 20 builders that think they need more recognition for the amount of work they're doing. And so I went to Tampa during Hurricane Helene, taped an episode with them talking about a couple of my bikes that I built, a 76 shovel head and a 61 pan, my 61 pan head. So that was a cool experience. And then come to find out, we're in communication now with the producer. We're potentially trying to do an 8-episode series just on me and my shop and a little bit about the Chopper community, because I am a smart ass and joking. It was Senior and him. I said, you guys think this is the way the Chopper world works. You're 100% wrong. You want to see the Chopper world works. I'm 100% Chopper to the day I die. So if you want to see, this ain't no frills, no nothing. You want to see a shop puts out choppers, not Tinker Toys or Legos, but then, you know, just all in fun joking. And they took me up on it, unfortunately. So now I think they're coming later this month of January to film the 8-episode pilot to start shopping. So if you see that, that'd be super cool. If not, you know, hey, at least I tried, whatever, you know, I'm trying to get the real, Chopper scene out rather than the, eight day deadline stuff. And then there's another series that they're bringing back. I don't want to put too much to it. Let's just say you build a bike in a certain amount of days, against someone, you can, and then winner kind of takes all. If you remember, Andy and Larry was kind of on them, and so like they're bringing that back. That actually is gonna be, they're coming here to film, could be tomorrow, I don't know. I just know I can't start on anything until the minute they show up, but that's very, you know, like hush hush, low key type of stuff. So that's a cool one. That those, all three of those things are going to be coming out, as well as I'm trying to run a business and get a website going so I can get merchandise on the website for people that want to buy it. Because I'm one of those people, I don't care about that stuff, to be honest with you. I just want cool bikes. I don't care about shirts and stickers and like making all that stuff. So that's one thing I've had to do, is get like, try and get shirts out and stay on top of that stuff now. But so that's the big three things I'm really working on coming up. And I'll be at Mama Tried, so all while trying to do all this other stuff, I have to hurry up and get to Mama Tried and get back. So it's this winter is very hectic for me, and it's weird because it's not a lot of bike building. It's a lot of stuff I never thought in a million years I'd be doing, like TV spots and stuff like that. That is, it's just beyond my wildest dreams. And so yeah, that's kind of where, what we're doing.
Nice. That's a lot going on. I'm glad to see that. I mean, I like I said, you're down to earth guy too, because I kind of reached out to you, asked you if you wanted to come on so I could help you grow your channel. I didn't realize at the time I reached out to you that everything you had going on, so I know you're busy, and I appreciate your time.
No, it's 100%. So the Grinch thing you're you posted, I saw you reposted the Grinch. So my brother actually works at Big St. Charles Harley-Davidson, and I got the Grinch costume 2 years ago so I could bring my granddaughter, who was one at the time, I guess, you know, a year ago, so I could take her presents for Christmas as the Grinch. She loved the Grinch. So I thought, what cooler thing would it be if I just brought her presents as the Grinch? She was absolutely terrified, mortified. So I turned it around, and they had the Santas coming. Well, I just told my brother, I'm just going to show up one day. It was last year, and I showed up and was messing with Santa and messing with the kids. Well, this year they asked me if I would come and do it for the kids. And I mean, I love kids. Kids are what makes this world go round. If you just take time to stop and mess with them, you know, like talk to them like they're adults, or talk to them like they're kids and have fun with them, and make nothing's too big for them, and have fun and just get to their level. Because in the end of the day, we're all kids. We're all just big kids. We just have newer, better toys, you know, as we get older. So that's something I like doing stuff for, like programs like that, that really helps kids and like helps show kids that motorcycle guys aren't that scary and that. But so I just, the video is actually the first time working with my new social media filmer that walks around taping me now. That's, I've advanced to where I can't do it myself anymore. And I'm not that smart to figure that stuff out. So he put all that together, and I think he just did an exceptional job. The other video you just posted with me grinding and cutting with my shirt off and tattoos, that was taken this summer for a Vans tennis shoe commercial. They came here and shot like 3 days for a Vans commercial, and that's one of the clips they sent me for just to mess around with and stuff. So I thought it turned out pretty good.
Hey, yeah, your stuff turns out great. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Besides being an exceptional builder, your stuff that you're putting out on social media is huge. I can't believe it's not better coming in, and people coming in like DDK just stopping in. This guy been following me for a while and supports me a little bit, but he's definitely, you need to go back and make sure if you just stopping in, that you go back and watch this whole episode with Evolution Cycles, go over, check out his stuff. He's got some big stuff coming.
I'm pretty new to the YouTube page. Just never really got after it for some reason. I've had it for a while, and I just never posted anything to it because I had so many other avenues. And then my good friend Jared Weems just talked me into starting it. Now I couldn't be happy. I think it's going great. I'm getting close to getting monetized, but I don't care. Honestly, you know, it's not about that for me. It's about having fun. And we're getting ready. Pretty soon we're going to – that's one thing on the channel. We're getting ready to start a new series on the channel called Chopping It Up. And so my granddaughter calls me Chop Chop instead of Grandpa. And anytime a builder comes in or a friend of mine comes through the shop, we're going to sit down and take 20, 30 minutes where we just sit down and talk about what he's doing, anything, that's tell old stories, you know, dumb stories, how we got in trouble at this place, about whatever, and just kind of have some fun with it.
Right on. That's cool. Thanks. So that's great. I thank you for being on here and sharing all that stuff with us. It's just great. You put out
any questions? Any questions from the chat?
I did see a couple of questions out here earlier. One guy asked the almighty question of how hard would it be to build a fuel injected chopper?
So here I've done it numerous times. The way I've done it is I've built some twin cam choppers and stuff for people. What I do is I take the guts out of a Sportster tank, the fuel pump and stuff out of a Sportster tank, and weld it into whatever tank I want to use. And then there you go. Yeah. You have your fuel injected chopper.
Yeah, I think the hardest part about it's like the guys that do the M8 stuff right now. I mean, I've been looking at that stuff, and that stuff's pretty respectful because they hide a lot of stuff inside those choppers.
Yeah. A lot. they hide a ton of wiring.
Yeah. That's my personal hardest part on the newer stuff, chopping that newer motors up, is hiding everything.
Yeah. And there comes a time where you get used to what you don't need and what you do need. and what you can trim down and stuff like that. So the biggest part with the new stuff is the computer, is making sure that computer stays and like the wires, all the CAN buses and the throttle by wires crap doesn't get messed with. So I mean, it's just take your time. It's all I can tell you is take your time. You know, what you're not doing isn't brain surgery. It's patience.
One of the other questions I've seen out there, I think everybody is pretty much listening. I mean, I see we got like 26 people pretty much watching. The other question, XAN asked it, but he was talking about Cycle Showcase. He goes pretty much every year. Are you going to, I know you said you're not one of your shows, you're taking a bike, but it's in your backyard. Do you think you're going to be walking around?
I'll be there. Yeah, I'll be there. Randy is a good personal friend of mine. I love Randy. And you never know, I might have a bike there. Because I'm one of those people that I never can give a for sure thing, because I tell Randy, I'm like, look, if you want me to have a spot there, I'll do it. You know, I will. That bike I had last year, I finished it the day before the show. Wow. And rolled it in. Like, he called me when it was still in fabrication, like 3 weeks before the show. And he's like, I go, yeah, we'll do it. Fine. And I just balls to the wall and got it done. But I got a shovel head, D-rake shovel head. I'm working on chopping the frame tomorrow. And if it all comes out right, Randy will probably have me bring it to the show. Nice. But he knows he can call me at any time and say, bring something, and I will.
Cool. Well, I'm not going to keep you anymore. I appreciate you coming in and sharing all the stories, doing all that stuff. I hope to see you at some of the shows. If I get down in the area, I'll probably stop by your shop, check that out.
Yeah, please, please. If I'm not at a show, I'm here. You know, if you like either like the channel or subscribe to the Instagram as well, if you message me on any of it, if you have a question, I don't care, I'll answer it. Even if it's, hey, my buddy blew his motor up, what do you think the best process is to get? I'll answer it. I fix a lot of bikes for people through messages and tell them, hey, this is where I'd start. There's no dumb questions. I remember when I first started, I was scared to ask somebody that was knowledgeable, like, and because I fear I was doing something wrong. And I didn't want to be called out. So if you're doing something wrong, I'll say, look, stop. You're just going the wrong direction. It's fine. I've been there. This way we'll get you get you taken care of.
Right on. Well, I
definitely appreciate you having me on and taking time to kind of display the channel to everybody and that. But if you see me, don't hesitate. Come up. I'm just tattooed more than most. I'm just I like people. I like hanging out. I like talking choppers. If you have a question about the bike I have at a show, I'll let you sit on it. I don't care. They're just motorcycles. They're nothing. They're not like, I don't know. I'm a firm believer. You should sit on them, ride them, ride them around, give them hell, tear them up, and build them again.
Right. Exactly. So definitely appreciate it. I don't have much more, but I'm gonna run the rest of the show, and I'll definitely see you out and about somewhere. I'm gonna try to make it over to Mama Tried. We'll sit down and have some drinks. Maybe I'll buy you dinner or something if you're coming on the show.
Absolutely. All right, you have a good one. I'm gonna get back to working on this Iron Head and this other Evo bike I got going right here.